Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Signing Day Spectacular Reaction Show. We're basically UGA Sports Live that we normally do on Tuesday. We're doing it on Wednesday because we had too many conflicts and we wanted to get through signing day first, and then we knew we had some news coming and we would get to it. So my name is Rodney DeBulsey. For those of you who don't normally watch this at 7:30 on a Wednesday, if you missed the noon, I am your quasi-host. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting guru at UGASports.com, Dane Young, who is our all-everything at UGASports.com, all-American, all-technology, all-analyst, all-everything. And, of course, the main reason everybody's
tuning in tonight. I wanted to call the show Dawning After Dark.
Yeah, Dawning After Dark. And the main reason everyone's tuning in is because Jim Dawning is here. He's the one that gives us – the show's built around him. He'll deny it, but we did 500 of these shows prior to him getting here. Not one of them was as good as his worst day on the show. So we thank Coach Dawning for joining us. It's not his – he's just watching the news and doing real stuff, but we pulled him out to actually do a show with us today. So not a very exciting signing day, guys. Pretty calm. I mean, there's only one guy that we're kind of watching, and we'd already told people that Terry and Arnold was going to go to Alabama. So we weren't watching 2021, but the class of 2022 remains red hot. We broke the news last week that Gunnar Stockton was looking at Georgia. Dun, dun, dun. Georgia gets him. And now all of a sudden, Jake, the dog's added a bear today.
Yeah. No kidding. And go watch the tape on this guy and tell me that you don't understand why his nickname's Bear. A true dancing bear, 6'4", 320 pounds. What I love about this kid, and he said, Trey Scott pointed this out as well, the bend on this guy. And that's not something you typically think about with a dude of this size. You think about him just kind of Hulk strength, kind of powering his way through. He's a guy who can get around the guard. He can get around the center, and get back in there and disrupt the play. And I think that that's a huge piece of his game. So huge pickup for Georgia, Keithian Alexander in the 2022 class. You got to give him a lot of props too, pulling this kid out of Denton, Texas. Not exactly the easiest recruiting ground. And I'm not saying, listen, I have cautioned people. I said this today. You're going to have to fight to keep this kid. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Texas A&M really, really likes this kid. And we're thought to be the leaders in his recruitment kind of throughout this. So, watch for them. LSU's involved. Miami is involved. They all like him. I mean, it's a who's who kind of deal. But Trent Smallwood, with some great scoop over on the board at UGASports.com, comes out and says, look, this kid has been spending time with his family in the state of Georgia. He's obviously camped at Georgia back in 2019, had a chance to meet with those guys then, and that's when they got this big impression, kind of formed this bond. Overall, he said it was what made him feel most comfortable. And I think that, I'm not guaranteeing anybody sticks, but you've got a lot better shot if a guy's already in the boat, right? So I think that it's a huge commitment for Georgia. They'll have to continue to work it, but this 2022 class shaping up to be freakish, no question about it, especially on that defensive side of the ball. And offense just started rolling.
Coach, you have Bear Alexander, five-star committed now. Georgia already picked up Tyree West, another five-star. I guess we have him listed as defensive tackle, but Jake, is he more defensive end, that 6'4", 265?
No. Oh, Tyree? Yeah. West is probably a little bit closer to that. Now, he's got the room to fill out. I think that he's kind of playing in a little bit closer to that David Marshall frame that we've seen in the past. I'm not exactly going to dominate in the way that like a Jordan Davis would, but, a guy who can bend the edge a little bit, use his power and his size very much.
Coach, I want to bring that up because so Georgia, with 2 5-star defensive tackles, we talked numerous times about the offensive line that Georgia has gotten, the 5 stars, top guys have gotten there. Kirby Smart today said it's still a line of scrimmage league. And he made reference to the fact that a lot of people say it's an elite skill players league, elite skill players game. Has the game changed, or is it still a line of scrimmage conference?
Well, I think if you look at Ole Miss, got all the wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, but when it gets down to stopping somebody, they can't stop anybody. They couldn't stop him when Luke was there. And I think he doesn't get enough credit for the offense that he left and the players he left Lane. I think Lane's doing a good job, but their offense was not that much more prevalent this year than it was last year. But, you know, these guys are really important to any program. And I think the fact we could go into Texas and get this kid, as you mentioned, but I will ask both all of you a question. Where did Sark coach last year?
That was Alabama. Yeah.
Where is he coaching this year?
Texas.
So you think he's going to go in there and not use some of Nick's techniques? I mean, it's going to be tough now. You got Jimbo Fisher and Sark in Texas now. You're not going to see Alabama pulling out four out of the top six players like they did last year with Herman. I think Sark was hired there to go in and he can coach offense, but he's coached under Pete Carroll, a master recruiter, a master guy that knows how to use the alumni, and Nick Saban. So I think anybody in Texas is going to be tough to pull out of there. But I was impressed with Bear, just like watching the tape on him. You know, I heard about him last week, and I watched some, and he can really move his feet. And, you know, it's going to be impressive if we can all of a sudden talk about guys like Carter. I know last year at this time when we had signing day, that was the one guy I said it's going to be a difference maker. And not because I said it, but you saw what he's able to do. The same thing with Marshall the year before. 44. I can't remember his last name all the time. What's 44?
Trayvon Walker.
Walker. You just talked about him. But seriously, our recruiting is just different right now. I think when you look at the reason Alabama, besides its powerful alumni, all that stuff and jobs they get kids and everything, it's just the fact that the lack of face-to-face hurts you. Yeah. You got a charismatic leader in Kirby Smart that just turns on those parents, the coaches, everything. He's been a year without it, being in face-to-face with anybody. And I think if you look at Nick, I mean, you look at all the trophies and all the championships, he just has a lure to him right now. It's kind of like investing in a blue chip stock. I mean, you know, you don't want to put your money in a bank that hadn't paid dividends. The same thing with Nick. I mean, that's what happened this year. And they got all the resources. They got everything with all those analysts and Zoom meetings and all. They did a great job. We did a good job with it too, no question. But we lost some guys head to head on them, particularly in our state. You know, Ferguson, is that the kid? I mean, I thought we'd get him, yep. Great lineman. And we lost some kids that Coley was in on, Dallas Turner. We had Dallas Turner. I mean, he was coming here.
James Williams.
And isn't that right?
Yeah, James Williams.
He went to Alabama, and of all places. So there's a lot of reasons for everything, but I feel good about our class this year, and I feel good about our class of 2022. And I really feel good about five or six players that are here right now working out on campus. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now for just a second. I got to start out with the big guy, Mims. Just makes my mouth water into a waterfall thinking about him. And then you got Green, a shutdown type corner. You got Vandergriff, five-star quarterback that's just going to be better and better every day. He's out there working. You've got Bowers, unbelievable speed for a tight end. He can be a hybrid guy. Munden, really impressive. Munden just, wow. I mean, on the hoof. And I haven't been over there much, but I'm just giving you a little bit of a thing. At 7:30, I wouldn't give you at 12 o'clock in the daytime. So, I just feel good about that. And I had one more I was going to mention. I'm going to have to look at my notes, and it really chaps my ass that I got to look at my notes, but I got some. I usually like to remember stuff, but I wrote these guys down. Oh, this guy here is a working Jesse. Chambliss is just a weight room wonder. He works out like crazy. He's the first guy in line in the drills, and he's just going to be – an overachiever type guy that doesn't need to overachieve. I mean, he just plays up to his max on every play out there. Watch him on tape the same way. Those six guys just jump out at you. Of course, we got other guys here too. First thing people will say, well, how about this guy? I'm just one of the six guys that are going to help our team pretty quickly, very quickly, in my opinion.
Dane, when I look at the fact that Georgia has 14 guys already on campus, yes, they 16. Didn't sign one today, but
don't we have 16?
Excuse me, 16.
Come on, Roger, 7:30, you got to give you A game.
Hey,
I haven't even looked at this show before.
He's been into the nip already. That's what
he's got all those, day.
Just he got all those medals behind him like he won them instead of his son.
Hey, my son went – hey, it says Nabulsi on it, don't it?
Hey, he won them. Okay, go ahead.
It's for the Klan. Dane, look at the fact they have 16 guys already on campus. We're starting to hear stuff. I mean, Coach names those six that are kind of standing out. And, again, you'll hear – we'll get scoop and stuff. And some guys have had you've had some great scoop on guys that have had procedures done, you know, and we've heard – I mean, the buzz that's coming out about Amarius Mims is through off the charts. Today, Kirby Smart mentioned Chambliss, you know, as one of the guys, when he mentioned Small Munden as, you know, linebackers, when he was asked specifically about the linebackers. The fact that those guys are here, I'm not saying that makes up for the fact that you missed out on one of your defensive back targets today, and, you know, they're going to be going through the portal to try to find one. But the fact that you've got – all those guys here, you have a Green, as Coach says, a shutdown corner who's working now. You have Keely Ringo, who's working now. Jalen Kimber, who's working now. Granted, you know, those two were freshmen last year, but you're getting to throw your other defensive backs into the mix, and you have a new defensive backs coach, which we also let people know about last week, and Kirby mentioned him today. You can check out that story, ujsports.com. I just got to think, if you're a Georgia fan, you got to be – you temper your disappointment today with not getting Terry Arnold with the fact that, you know, Green's here, Keeley's healthy, Kimber's working, Major Burns is working, you know, Lewis Seen's back there. I'm not saying secondary isn't an issue. We got a story coming first thing in the morning about the secondary, but the fact to me, it was a win to get the 20 guys that you did. You have a top five class in the nation, but you also have three quarters of it on campus today.
I think what can't be lost is not just the true freshmen coming in for this roster management, but it's the guys that had an opportunity to leave and decided to stay. Jamari Salyer, yeah. Justin Schaefer, offensive lineman. So, yeah, we're talking about an Amarius Mims who is talented enough to play on an already deep offensive line during his freshman season. But there are some other guys that returned that are going to be crucial for Georgia. Would have had opportunities either through the transfer portal or in the case of a Salyer, he would have been drafted to the NFL probably late, and he'll probably get a stock up a little bit higher by coming back. But, you know, you start looking around at the different positions, and you're like, oh, James Cook's back. Zamir White, he's back. The entire running back room is back. Wide receivers, it's pretty much, you know, the same thing. And then you have Dominic Blaylock coming back too. That's why you hear all the excitement about the offense. And the position of concern is defense, and specifically at cornerback, just because you do lose three guys that have started there. But that's where a guy like Nylon Green may end up being the most important recruit in this class, only because of the position that he plays. If he really is that good, because he's going to have an opportunity to play right away. Jake, I would imagine that defensive back, transfer portal, something between now and summer, if there's a spot, you'd have to think that's where some more depth could be coming, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the way I see it, Georgia's got about three spots left in this class. And I know that people are going to be saying, well, what the hell? Alabama takes 28. Listen, I don't know how they do that. I'm not here to explain it. I can't figure it out myself. But I'll tell you this. I think Georgia's got three spots left. And I look for them to spend on best available player, obviously. I think that that's first concern always. But it would not surprise me to see all three of those spots go to defensive backs. I think that they want to create competition. They want to bring people in who have experience. And I think it's really a situation where, you know, they've had great success in the portal. They've taken guys out of there and really had successful careers out of them and helped a lot. So I think that you're kind of in line to see that once again.
And don't discount that there could be somebody on the roster that could flip over. We saw that with Mark Webb early in his career, where he was a wide receiver and then joined that defensive back crew.
I'm deferring to the coach here.
That was good what you just said, Dane. I just want to bring out a couple things here because it's getting. I got 10 more minutes before I got to go to bed. we had some guys playing corner last year that were rated pretty highly, no question about it. And the guy that was our fourth corner went to the Senior Bowl and was chosen the best corner there.
Yeah. I mean
that's pretty impressive. Based on Daniels for the week, was picked the best corner there. That's impressive.
That's actually voted on by the wide receivers.
Right. So that's pretty good. Shows the kind of coaching they got, shows you the talent. And it helped himself in the draft, and everybody's raising hell because he didn't play in the game and all. And I hate he didn't too, but realistically, the guy helped himself, and it was a good move. And so, and he did a lot for Georgia. You know, he got hurt some and wasn't able to play as much this year. But then, you know, I think one question you talk about Alabama, the thing they got is they got kids that come out of the womb there wanting to go to Alabama or Auburn. And if they get a chance to go there, they're going to go any way they can. If that means they got the blue shirt, which that means the first semester, they wait until school starts or practice starts, and then they get counted as a scholarship, and they get counted forward, okay? Or they wait a semester, and they're a gray shirt, and they get counted forward. That's how every year they get 25, 26, 27 guys that end up going there. I wish I could say they're cheating about that, but they're not. They got guys that want to go there and pay their own way if they have to. But usually that doesn't happen. But anybody in Alabama that's on their list there might not practice this summer. You know, he might just wait until July or August when they start. So that answers that question. But I think for sure, what we're going to see this spring, hopefully, is a very competitive spring. Our corners are going to get a good work against some really good defensive backs, just like our offensive line got to work last year against good pass rushers and got better against Alargi and all those guys. So, you know, I know that Coach Smart has his team built in 2021 to me, a lot better talent-wise than it was in 2016 or 17.
Sure. No question there. I mean, I know a lot of people are disappointed in the number five recruiting class, but you did just sign back-to-back-to-back number one classes, three number ones in a row. And if the way you're looking at 2022, you're kind of back to being number one again. So
Let me just point this out because you bring out a lot of people saying they're disappointed. If you're disappointed, I understand that. But let's look at the reasons here. Your recruiting guy is a number one closer, number one guy in a home, number one guy around coaches in high schools, number one guy in a helicopter, number one guy for going all the way across the country and everything he does. And he didn't get to do that one damn time.
Yeah.
Not once.
No, yeah, I agree. 100%.
He didn't do it one time this year.
Yeah, when and you're coming down to
– the guy we got for 2022 that talked today – said part of the reason he came here was because in 2019 he visited the campus and was enthralled with Trey Scott and Kirby Smart. How many guys are even visiting now in this 22 class? Not many. So excuse me for interrupting, but that really caps my ass.
I get the frustration, and I always tell people we could go back to – and this is not a shot against Coach Rick because people know I love Coach Rick, great guy. But, yeah, you might get some players on signing day, but that's because you didn't lock them up in December, you know. And it's very unlikely that you weren't going to win as many head-to-head battles as Kirby Smart has. Kirby Smart versus Nick Saban, he's won a lot of them. That's why he had the number one class back-to-back-to-back years. And you look in that 2022 class, there's already some head-to-head battles in there that these kids have an offer from Alabama, they got an offer from Georgia, and they're coming to Georgia. For now, I mean, it's tough. And when you take away all that in-person meeting and all the on-campus visits and you go to the kids and say, hey, where do you want to go? A lot of them are like, I can't see anything, but I know I'll be okay at Alabama. And they picked them. So it's I get it. It's what you want to do. But Georgia is the up and comer. Georgia's these kids have faith in it. You can see that in the 2022 class. And, you know, you picked up a guy who could be a five-star last week in Gunnar Stockton. You picked up another five-star today in Bear Alexander. You got Tyree West, another five-star. You got a bunch of highly ranked four-stars. And anyway, I'm never going to give Kirby any grief about recruiting. It's just it's kind of pointless. I do want to mention, for somebody who's successful year in and year out in what they do, I do want to mention our friends over at Athens Ford. If you get a chance, swing by athensford.com. Can't go out there tonight, they're probably, you know, getting ready to close up shop, but you can go right now to their website. If you go, you'll see a $250 off little window that'll pop up. Just for going to the website, they're going to give you $250 off of any vehicle you buy. So you can't beat that. Of course, if you're a first responder or a vet or a recent graduate or student, they have $500 off coupons there for you to fill out, and they'll take care of you because they know that, you know, they want to show their appreciation for our vets, and they know that the students need help. So hit them up online. You can see all their new cars, all the used cars. They have financing specials on some of the new vehicles that are, you know, 0% financing for qualified buyers for 60 months on some of their vehicles. You can't miss that. If you need work done on your vehicle, you need oil changed, you need something looked at, you can actually schedule it. You know, when, you know, you're put in your vehicle, what time you want it done, exactly what you want done. It'll tell you what it costs. It's a fantastic service that they do at Athens Ford for getting any work done on your vehicle. And, you know, they have the nice Broncos out there. Now, they don't have a ton of them. They get them in and they're sold pretty quickly, but keep checking. I know that Chris has one coming in for himself, but if you want to see the new Ford Bronco, head out to Athens Ford, check it out. And of course, everything you get out there has a lifetime powertrain warranty on it. So hit
those. Get out there and get the Bronco before Roddy comes and breathes all over it.
He's handprints and breath marks all over.
Sir, please, we're going to have to call the authorities.
Goddamn restraining orders.
Coach mentioned it, and he talked about this with Barry Alexander. And I think that one of the storylines that needs not be forgotten here, and a guy that deserves immense credit, not only in the 2020 cycle, but definitely heading into 2022, Trey Scott is emerging as one of the elite recruiters in college football. I mean, I don't think there's any way you can question that at this point. What he's been able to do and what it took was, I mean, I think what people needed all along, which was he had to take a guy, he had to go find a guy, and he had to develop a guy. And he's done that with several guys. But Jordan Davis, obviously, I think is the one who comes to mind for most people. You know, he's the guy who's kind of led the way there. But for Georgia, that's so huge to go ahead and be adding a guy who's, you know, Coach mentioned an up and comer. Georgia being the up and coming team. You've got coaches that are rising to that occasion as well. And I think that Trey Scott deserves all the credit in the world. Marlon Dean, I think, is a good player. I think they may have taken a little bit of a flyer on him, maybe not the biggest need that they had right away. But look, if you look at Jonathan Jefferson, I think people feel good about what he's going to be able to bring. Tyrion Ingram Dawkins is a guy that if I'm Clemson, I'm probably looking back on and saying, damn, you know, that we maybe should have made a little stronger run at that. I know South Carolina's wishing that they had him or anyone else at this point. But I think that, you know, you look ahead to this 2022 class, the two highest rated guys are Trey Scott led prospects. I mean, outside of that, you're looking at, Darius Smith. He's a guy 6'6", 225. Does he stay in that range or does he kind of end up playing a jack, playing a little bit with his hand in the ground? Remains to be seen. But this is a young guy who came in, and I forget who the kid was. I think it was Dawkins. He said, people didn't – he told me the story, and don't quote me on the guy necessarily, but he said people told me Trey Scott told me that when I came here, people didn't believe I was ready for this job. They didn't think that I was qualified for it. They didn't think that I could recruit at this level. They didn't think that I could develop at this level. He came in with that chip on his shoulder, and I think he deserves all the kudos in the world for what he's done. And as much as this may have been a quiet signing day, I think that you have to look toward that 2022 pickup and say, you got a guy who's really emerging on your staff as one of the elite recruiters in his conference and around the nation.
That's a great point. Trey Scott was also the reason that Mason Smith almost picked Georgia. And again, if you had a normal year where Mason Smith could have visited, you know, 3-4 times, taken an official visit, maybe you were able to pull the number one player in the nation. And again, I know people say, well, you didn't get him. You know, it's binary, yes or no. Well, I think Kirby Smart made a great point today when he was asked on the Rivals. We had an exclusive interview with him when he talked to Mike Farrell today. Check that out at ujsports.com. It's a little wide-ranging interview. And he was asked about, you know, national titles. You know, what does it take to win there? You know, you replaced a coach that was getting 10 wins a year, and, you know, you got to take Georgia to the next step. How do you get there? And Kirby Smart said, you need at-bats. You need to be in it. You need to get into the playoffs so that you have a chance. If you're not in the playoffs, then you don't get that at bat. Eventually, when you get up there and you get your at bat, you're going to hit a home run. You're going to hit your double. You're going to hit your triple. And he's right. You got to be in it to win it. And I say the same thing when it comes to recruiting. Yes, people are, you know, oh, we didn't get Terry Arnold. Yeah, that stinks. But you were one of two teams. You didn't get Mason Smith. Well, you were one of two teams. You did get Tyree West. You know, you did get Gunnar Stockton. You were two teams. It was you and Auburn. You got him. You wanted Bear Alexander. It was Georgia and Texas A&M. You know, you got it. He's still going to have to fight for him. But a lot of times you get those because you're in it. People sometimes focus on the ones you didn't get, not the ones you did. You know, how many people thought Nylon Green was going to Clemson? A lot of them didn't, you know. So I think that that same mentality where like you say, Trey Scott has put Georgia into these kids' mind. Come play for me. I will develop you. You've seen what I've done with these other guys, you know. And I think that he has taken Georgia from – I mean, Coach, you pointed out numerous times the dearth of big defensive tackles that Georgia's had drafted. And I think that Trey Scott has really helped turn that around.
Trey's a good technique coach. He's got a lot of energy. Kirby brought him in here and developed him in our system. He had to learn it. He was the only guy here that didn't know the Alabama system and the numbering system, all that stuff, because they all came, Tucker and Schumann and all those guys, and he had to learn it, and he's done a good job with it. The other thing that we need to point out today is we had a couple coaches had the opportunities to go other places, and they stayed here. Dan Lanning, certainly was well chronicled, talked to LSU, talked to Texas, Oregon, reached out about him. He didn't actually do much with any of these schools, but Kirby realizes the benefit of keeping him here. Schumann had some overtures too, I've heard, and certainly Dale McGee, one of the killer recruiting guys in the whole country. People don't realize how many guys he recruits that aren't running backs. He's a lead guy down in Columbus on that kid we're going after that could be coming our way pretty quick. What's his name? The Dane?
Mike Williams.
Yeah. And he was the same thing on Fields. The same thing on Gilbert. I mean, he just an unbelievable recruiter, and Kirby realizes that, and Auburn started flip-flopping around with him, and before they could do anything, Kirby sealed him up like he should have, and I give Kirby a lot of credit for that. And guys should be rewarded if they're doing a good job. Dale, assistant head coach there for a couple of years, really did a good job behind the scenes when we had a lot of issues last year, the issues that confronted every team in America. You saw that in early August around the country, all these teams registering to vote, doing all these things, helping these kids. Dale McGee, Brian Gant, all these guys just did a tremendous job with our team, along with Coach Smart, who reached out to a lot of different people to make sure you didn't see much about the unrest that Georgia had from anybody. And part of that was because of the behind the scenes work that our coaches did, talking to our players and making sure that they their voice was heard. So, but I think it's good that you can keep your staff intact when you got some really good coaches. You can always lose coaches. And everybody talks about Nick losing coaches. And he did lose a lot of coaches. I mean, no question about it. But Charles Huff got a head coaching job at Marshall. Sarkisian got a head job at Texas, and Flood went as his assistant head coach. Banks got $1 million to be the special teams coach at Texas. You can't blame him for that. So he's lost some good coaches, but fortunately for us, we were able to keep ours. And we lost Warren as a defensive coordinator. If you're going to lose a guy, more power to him. And we got an outstanding young coach in this Adai guy from West Virginia, who I think will be a big plus for us.
Well, and I think a couple of things that Kirby Smart deserves a lot of praise and credit for. One is Jamile Adai, a couple of reasons. He obviously knows that Washington, D.C. area, where we've seen a lot more recruits come from D.C. and Maryland and the likes of that area around there. But also Adai originally from Florida. And when James Coley left, that opened up a bit of an opportunity for someone that has ties to Florida as well to come in for Georgia and recruit that area. So I think that that's something that Adai can really help out with. We've seen so many great defensive backs come from the state of Florida that have played at Georgia. The other thing is, coaches always tell players, you have to adapt to your circumstances. Well, when COVID hit and it stopped all the traveling, Kirby Smart looks around and he says, the state of Georgia, these kids are going to want to stay home. And so he kept a lot of guys in Georgia that may would have looked at overtures elsewhere. You mentioned, Roddy, that, you know, maybe a guy like Mason Smith would have left Louisiana for Georgia in a normal year. Well, maybe a guy like Amarius Mims looks outside of Georgia in another year. Absolutely. I have no idea. But the fact that Georgia got him and that Georgia got another five-star quarterback and brought Vandegrift, I mean, it just sets the foundation for years to come.
That's a great point. And I think I want to elucidate on that, just the fact that Mims didn't go visit Oklahoma. He didn't go to Southern Cal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that makes a lot of difference. He came to Georgia about 15 times minimum. And he started when he's a sophomore. So very, very good point you made there about, as far as locking down your own state, and which is hard to do. Everybody coming in there and hitting hard on it. And, you know, it's just part of the deal here.
You know, I want to go over some of those coaches. Dan Lanning now is up to a mere $1.7 million a year. That makes him one of the highest paid.
Still $800,000 less than Tucker was making.
Catch up to me soon.
So, yeah, $1.7 million. He's making $1.25 million now. Can you remember? I'm sure Texas probably offered him two plus or probably in that range. Just the rumor. It's what they were paying their last guy. So just an idea that this is Kirby Smart recruiting his coaches to keep him here. Dan Lanning, I think Dan Lanning is 1 or 2 years away from being a head coach somewhere. And the fact that you got him here is a big deal.
Might still be this year.
Very true. Yeah, there's still coaching searches going on.
UCF.
Yeah. It would not surprise me if UCF made a hard run at him. I remember Memphis wanted him last year, so – Del McGee is going from $625,000 to $800,000. So if you tell me that Dell's making $800,000 a year, I'm like, worth every penny, because the way he recruits and the way he coaches. And again, that is a guy who has James Cook and Zamir White coming back. He has Kendall Milton and
McIntosh.
Kenny McIntosh lined up, ready to go. And
Carroll.
Asian Edwards, Levasseur.
Yeah. I mean, and Coach, you're right. You're saying, hey, he recruits more than his position. But damn, when he recruits his position, there's no screwing around with Del McGee. So that is a guy who it's worth it. And it's good to see Todd Hartley get the raise that.
He's very deserving, Todd. All these guys are. But
yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at what the university's making out of football and all that. But I can say this about recruiting here. I don't know how many people are watching this show that are salesmen or whatever they do, but you got the right head coach here at the University of Georgia. You can go out and recruit anybody. You can go to McDonald's or Hardee's or any fast food guy and get a drive-through guy and tell them you work for the University of Georgia and Kirby Smart's the head coach, that you're going to be a good recruiter. Come on.
Very, very true.
I mean, look, Vince Dooley is a good recruiter. Ray Goff was a good recruiter. I was a pretty good recruiter. Rick, yeah. I mean, come on. It's just, University of Georgia is a the brand, man. It's
yeah, but at the same time, you also, I mean, you got to be elite because there's some other brands that are out there very good. And I think that's what you have in Kirby Smart. I think you have a elite recruiter who has surrounded himself with some damn good
recruiters. Look at all those championships that Nick's has in recruiting, like you said, 7 out of 11 years.
Yeah.
And 3 of them when Kirby wasn't there. Kirby was, so 7, now this is the 8th one. Kirby was there for 7 of them helping him. He was recruiting Alvin Kamara. He was recruiting those guys. He killed it in Alabama on those. Look at those defensive players he recruited.
Now, I can tell you, being out of the track meet over in Jefferson, when Kirby Smart would show up, how those kids are not supposed to be over there talking to him, but the whisper started. And Mike Bobo's in the stands, you know, and Mike's like, hey, you don't see me here. And I'm like, oh, I don't see you, Mike, you know. But they're watching these kids run, and I'm over by the tents, and they're like, hey, Kirby's here. Kirby's here. You know, the guys are talking to him. And I remember seeing Demetrius Robertson watch him, you know, and Tyler Simmons watch him. And you know, I remember talking to Alvin Kamara about him, you know, before Alvin. I remember when Kamara committed to Georgia, I mean, he was committed to Alabama. He was the 4th running back they took in that class. And everyone's like, why would you go there to be number 4? Well, Alvin knew he wasn't number 4. He thought he's number 1. The other guys, the other 3 just committed earlier, you know, and he's killing it for the Saints now. Point being, Kirby was a thorn in the side when he was over there. Now he's a thorn in Alabama's side. He didn't win one today, but he's won plenty more.
Butch Jones did a great job with Alvin up at Tennessee, really utilized him. I thought he really
kept him fresh for the Saints, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Rick
Fabric.
Champions of life.
Yeah.
Went to Arkansas State.
The Saints can appreciate that. One thing you can appreciate is our friends over Your Pie. If you are trying to, let's say you're trying to eat healthier and you think you can't have pizza, I will tell you to please think again. Rethink your preconceived notions. They have a bunch of the healthy choices made very easy over at Your Pie. You can get vegan, you can get vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, low-carb, low-cal, plant-based, whatever dietary, I won't say restriction, dietary requirement you may have, you can get that fulfilled at Your Pie with their custom pizzas, with their custom pasta, with their salads, with their sandwiches. Just swing by any of the Your Pie locations and you can get the low-carb pizza, you know, the one with the cauliflower crust. You can get the gluten-free. You can get the plant-based. You're like, hey, I want one, but I want that meat substitute. You can get that at the Your Pie locations. They have tons of locations all over the nation. So when you get a chance, swing out to Your Pie and check them out. Drew and Natalie French, also good recruiters. They recruit great people to start their franchises, you know, and they make sure that these people are smart and not going to have a bad business. There won't be anybody out there giving you bad customer service. You know, they're going to have great customer service when you go out there. And it's a Wednesday night. If you want to have a nice, go out and have a nice dinner, swing out by your local Your Pie. This weekend, if you're going to be watching the Super Bowl, I would probably recommend going out and checking out our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They have a ton of new beers out there. You got to go try them. A bunch of fancy drinks. They're having a starting, what is it, February, February 13th. Academia is going to begin their weekly brunch menu on Saturdays and Sundays from 10 to 1. A lot of nice Bloody Marys out there, handcraft drinks, biscuits, egg scramble bowls, all sorts of neat things. So when you get a chance on the weekend starting February 13th, right before Valentine's Day, on Saturdays and Sundays, you can go by our friends at Academia Brewing Company, try new beers, watch the Super Bowl out there, watch all sorts of sporting events, you know, Georgia games, watch Georgia basketball games. Shout out to Tom Crean for winning over Auburn the other day. And you can watch those games out there, have all these great beers. And then on Saturday and Sunday, if you want to go by for brunch from 10 to 1, do that at Academia Brewing Company.
Hey, Roddy, don't you also want to talk about the former SEC head coach, 2-time SEC head coach that is officially part of the Georgia staff?
That is old news. Will Muschamp has been in Athens for 17 years as an analyst. Now, it was good that Kirby Smart mentioned confirmed our reporting from much earlier in the month where we said Will Muschamp was on staff as an analyst. And there was some back and forth as to whether or not he was officially on staff or officially, but look, we reported it a month ago that he was on staff, and Kirby Smart confirmed it today. And so I know a lot of people go, well, you know, he didn't have much luck against Clemson, but I got to, and Coach, I'm going to go to you on this. If I'm Kirby Smart and I've faced, you know, and I got Will Muschamp in my office, I'm like, look, we faced you when you were at Florida, and you know, we faced you when you were at South Carolina. What did you do against us at work? What did you see in our tendencies that you were able to exploit? What did we do that was successful? Oh, and by the way, you've gone up against Clemson. You've had a, didn't have a good record against them. Here's what I'm thinking of doing against Clemson. Where will that work? You know, to me, it just seems like that is a great mind to pick when it comes to self scouting and scouting other teams with Will Muschamp in the room with Kirby Smart.
Yeah, you just look at the pluses on Will. He was a defensive coordinator at Auburn, at LSU, at Texas. They had coaches waiting at Texas. He was within one play of playing for the national championship at Florida his second year. Notre Dame was playing Southern Cal out there, and if Southern Cal scores on the two-yard line, Notre Dame loses and Florida goes to the national championship game. And, you know, he just never could get a quarterback at Florida that worked or offense that worked. And then at South Carolina, I got it going a little bit early on. They beat Michigan. And then the last couple of years just been going downhill, built some really good facilities. You know, but I think the point that you made is you got a guy that you can bounce things off and talk to him about. And it was kind of like when I was not coaching anymore and I would go out and do a game for ESPN, these coaches would come up to me and ask me, hey, during practice, what did, anything you see and stuff like that. And of course I would never say anything unless they asked me, but sometimes I'd say, hey, have you ever thought about doing it like this? Or I think to myself, I wish I'd have done it like that when I was coaching. But you know, the whole point is you share things, and Kirby is good about listening to, to other people about things like this. We had Jay Johnson here, who was an outstanding offensive coach working with Chaney and those guys as a behind the scenes guy. We had Tyson Summers doing the same thing, who was a head coach at Georgia Southern. So I think it's just an inordinate amount of information that you can go back and forth. And certainly from the Clemson perspective, you got a guy that, like I used to say on the, I've said on this show, when I used to coach at Georgia, we did something on Florida every day we worked at Georgia, whether it's in the summer or whatever, we had some kind of deal to try to beat Florida. We were talking about it. And I'm sure he did the same thing with Clemson at South Carolina. You got that number one rival you got to beat. So he's going to have some good tendencies on Clemson. 2 years ago, the last time they played him, they scored like 40 some points on Clemson. They couldn't stop him though, but Bentley had a heck of a game. So I know he's got some good things on Venables defense and things like that. So it's just, I don't think I've ever heard of a guy that's been a head coach in the same division as you are 7 of the last 9 years and or 8 of the last 10 years. And now he's helping, you know, you in the same division. I think that's really good. And even if he's not working here, I don't know if he's working. Has anybody said he's working here yet? Just kidding. Hey, but I tell you, the other thing is good for Will, I think, is he's going to learn from Kirby. He's going to see some other sides of the fence too that maybe, hey, just like I said, look yourself in the mirror. You still got a great life ahead of you, Will. You got a chance to interact with both your sons. You're going to get to watch your son play his junior and senior year. Athens Academy is benefiting from the fact that his son's moving in here and play quarterback. I don't know if he'll beat win the job or not, but, you know, you got a life beside football too. And I think certainly going to help him to be, you know, kick back a little bit. I know he'll still go 100 miles an hour, but kind of be nice on Friday nights to go watch your son play once.
No, that's a great point. I didn't think about the fact that, yes, you know, Will Muschamp has scouted and faced Tennessee all those years in South Carolina. And, you know, he was at South Carolina. He knows the player and personnel over there, and he knows Vandy, and he knows everybody else, and, you know, how to take on Missouri. So, yeah, that's that is a brain trust worth having, and having, you know, spend some time in Athens. He's over. We did report, like I said, a month ago that he was here. Kirby said he's already working. And I think as much as people got mad at him, you know, when he was the head coach elsewhere. Look, everybody's welcome to come back home, you know. So glad he's here, and glad we were able to break the news.
He's a Georgia graduate.
Exactly.
Well, and now we're
welcome back, Agent Muschamp. Yes.
We're 5 years into Kirby Smart's tenure, and he's got two former SEC head coaches on his staff, with Matt Luke included, and he's got former assistants, Sam Pittman and Shane Beamer, now head coaches in the conference. So,
plus Todd Munkin's a head coach too. You know, he was a it's really – and we got an outstanding analyst on the offensive side in Buster Faulkner, who has been a coordinator at Middle Tennessee, at Southern Miss, at Arkansas State, done a terrific job helping Coach Munkin. You know, we don't hear a lot about, and this is not a rah-rah show. I know I've given a lot.
All right, well, I got some rah-rah news for you, Coach.
What is it?
I'm just saying. No, this is just a friend of mine telling me that JT Daniels been telling people his knee feels great. So best it has in a long time.
I hope so.
I can't wait till spring, baby. Spring's coming. So
I didn't mean that anyway, but I mean, it's definitely been a hindrance for him.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. I mean, and he's going to have to feel really good. He's going to have to be James Brown good on September, whatever day it is when he plays the Clemson Tigers. Because I can tell you this, Clemson ain't Mississippi State. Clemson ain't Missouri. Clemson ain't Cincinnati. No. Clemson, who was the other team he played against? South Carolina. But he's going to have a lot better supporting cast, and he's going to have four games under his belt plus spring practice, all of fall camp. He'll be ready to go, and hopefully his knee, whoever he's telling his knee is good. I hope he does it with like those slogans he puts when he's talking about the basketball team. He used a bad language on that. I didn't like that, JT. Something that started with an M and then ended in something else. I hope it doesn't feel like that good.
No, apparently it feels really good. So that's probably – this is a that's a big plus for a guy that's – yeah, you saw him as mobility limited, but he's going to be –
I've heard also through the grapevine that Beck has really improved his quickness a little bit over the last – 3 or 4 months working hard on that. And, you know, he's got the arm, he's got the accuracy, and that's going to be a real fight for number two job between Beck and Bennett and Vandergrift. I mean, that's going to be good competition there, and it's going to keep Daniels on his toes too.
Yeah, I like it. I know a lot of people worry about the quarterback spot, but I'm feeling much more bullish on quarterbacks now than I was before. Speaking of being bullish, I'm bullish on one of our big sponsors. That is Aaron Overhead Doors, A-A-R-O-N Overhead Doors. They take great care of us. They sponsor not only our podcast, but our website and our 321 columns. Whenever I get around to writing them, I'm kind of slacker on that. But and it's probably good for them because they don't need to be associated with it. But our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors are a pure customer service driven company. That is their first and foremost directive is to take care of you. Then the garage doors and everything else come second. Customer service is what they sell right off the bat. They have a huge service area. They're all over Gwinnett, Cobb, Barrow, Stevens, Jackson, North Fulton, Dawson, Habersham, Hall, DeKalb, White County, Oconee County, Clark, Cherokee, Walton. I think I said Forsyth. But huge service area, and you can get a consultation with them for free. You can go online, go to AaronOverheadDoors.com, and they will, you can put in, hey, here's my contact information. This is when I want you to call. This is when I want you to come out. You can schedule a consultation with them. They can do all the repairs, replacements. They got a garage door opener that's not working, they'll fix it. They'll replace it. You want the little buttons in your visor coded to your opener, they can do that. If you have commercial work you need done, they can also do that as well. So check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. Ryan Lucy and the folks out there take great care of us. Also, if you're in South Georgia, you're down around Liberty County, Long County, Bryan County, reach out to DR Construction and Maintenance. Reach out to our friend Ronnie Brown, also a big sponsor of our show, a guy that does great reconstruction work, great construction work, remodeling work, just pretty much you name it, DR Construction and Maintenance can do it. Ronnie Brown is the guy, huge Georgia fan. Bring him out, talk Georgia football, then hire him to do the work you need done in Liberty, Bryan, and Long counties. He will take care of you.
You know, one of the exciting things of signing day was seeing where some of the former Georgia players ended up. So seeing Matt Landers go to Toledo, hope he does well there. Hope we get to see him on some Tuesday night action. That'd be kind of fun.
Yes.
But what I learned was this is how you do the transfer portal. Hugh Nelson, who was a walk-on, just a reserve guy, used his practice tape at Georgia and is now playing for University of Hawaii. Now, that is how you transfer portal.
Well done. Well done.
That's good job, and I'll say this about Hugh. Back when we used to get to go to practice, I'll be taking pictures, you know, action shots, and Hugh was always running with the scholarship guys. So I consider him a walk-on, but this is a guy who was – this wasn't a backbencher. He's actually pretty talented, and I'm excited to what he can do at Hawaii. So congrats to him. Hope Matt Landers has a heck of a career. We saw John Cedar, Setter, the quarterback. He's SMU. Transferred now. Where did he go? I just
SMU, I believe.
Yeah, SMU. So we put him on the put that note up there. You know, you just wish the guys that have transferred out all the best. And I think that the Hugh Nelson, though, going to Hawaii, that's a good move. Oh, Prather Hudson went somewhere, too. Where'd he go?
Where did Prather go? That's a good question.
Forgot as well. Let's ask Jason Butt. Illinois. He went to Illinois to be with Bielema.
That's awesome. So, you know, congrats to those. And again,
does Prather like to drink beer?
I don't know.
Bielema, I have a feed for him.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I will say the Prather folks are fantastic.
I've been talking too much here. Ready?
Hey, Jake, hit us up with some questions in our last 10 minutes or so.
All right. Yeah. We got a couple today. You know, I think people kind of I feel good about this because I feel like we amply prepared people for what was going to happen on signing day. So we didn't get a lot of signing day questions necessarily. But I like this question. Shownuff 253 says, at this point, who's the most dynamic offensive skill player in the 2022 class that UGA has a legit chance of signing? And I really like that question. I was looking over the list. And I'm going to lean toward the guy who jumps off the page to me and is probably Travis Hunter out of Collins Hill. I think Travis Hunter is going to have a chance to push for the number one player before all said and done. He's that special of an athlete. He's a do-it-all kind of guy, great cornerback, great defender, but also a hell of a receiving threat as well. Georgia has an uphill battle there for sure. He's an FSU commit. He's from Florida originally. And I'll tell you this, he understands the interview game about as well as any kid I have ever spoken to, because he made sure with all my evasive maneuvers he always managed to get back in but I'm committed to Florida State. And so, his media training has served him well. But Travis Hunter, definitely a guy I think that Georgia fans need to keep watching throughout this. They're going to keep pushing for him. I think the other guy who really comes to mind too, and go check out the article we did this past weekend on, you know, how does this addition of Gunnar Stockton sort of change things for the wide receivers and tight ends moving forward? I think that you got to look at a guy like Kojo Antwi out of Lambert High School. I think that he's a guy, four-star wide receiver, you know, just a guy. He climbed 68 spots in the last Rivals 250 re-ranking and looks to be destined, I think, for even higher climb. I think that he's a guy who could finish really high, and Gunnar Stockton is a huge deal for Kojo. He's also a huge deal for Sam Mbake at Brookwood. He's also a huge deal for Denylon Morissette at Brookwood. So, this was a pickup, I think, that had as much to do with recruiting as it did with what Gunner brings to the table. I think that you've got a chance at some legit playmakers in this 2022 class. I think that you're going to have to credit not only Kirby Smart and Todd Monken and Cortez Hankton for what happens, but hats off to Gunner Stockton as well. I think Georgia fans will owe him a big pat on the back before this 2022 class is all said and done.
Hey, and look for these guys too, and tell us about them here real quickly, because I did a little homework here on the running backs for 2022. Branson Robinson, Emmanuel Henderson, Jordan James, and Katron Allen.
Yes, yeah, all four of those guys.
How about definitely that for four guys for you, man?
Definitely.
Look at the coach bringing the heat.
Four guys in the mix for sure right there. Branson Robinson, you know, has come out. Sam Spiegelman did a great piece with him the other day. He said, look, Georgia's in touch all the time. They're telling me that I'm one of the top needs in this class. You've got to assume that they're going with two backs in this one, so they're going to have to recruit it hard. Katron Allen's a guy I know they really like as well. You look at Emmanuel Henderson. Everybody loves that guy. The only question you've got about him is whether or not he's going to end up getting pulled out of the state of Alabama or not. I mean, that's anyone's guess at this point. And then Jordan James, yeah, definitely a guy up in Oakland, Tennessee, right outside in Murfreesboro. I think a guy who, has been on that radar for some time now. So a lot of opportunity here. And I think what's interesting as well is that hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, camps will start to open back up over the course of the summer. And, you know, we'll start to have some more of these showcases and be able to get out and see some of these guys. Cause I think that there's still a ton of untapped talent. We're kind of riding off of what we already knew. But there are guys out there who are hungry for the opportunity and are probably ready to flourish as well.
Hey, we got an agent up in Murfreesboro who can help us hook us up there.
There you go. Coach, this one from Riser. You mentioned some of those early enrollees who've opened your eyes. He said, any upperclassmen that you've heard might be stepping it up as vocal leaders, or some guys who might need to do that, in fact?
I don't know about vocal leaders, but I'm going to give you two words here. Quay Walker. The guy is a stallion-looking kid, and he really played good at the end of the year last year.
Yeah, he did.
I think he took advantage of Monty being hurt. And I just really think that he's going to be a dynamo. We got to have him on one side. And, he's just going to be a thick guy that can play in space too and not have to sub for him, play on third down. And you've got him at 17 in there.
Me and N'Kobe Dean side by side. That's the whole group.
He's going to be strong.
Not bad. This one also for you, Coach.
As local leaders, though.
Yeah,
I'll answer that. I think the fact that White came back, he gives you an instantaneous guy that everybody, just by his role model with two ACLs, the way he works, the way he practices, the way he works in the off season. The same thing with James Cook, and then in the O line, Salyer, the same thing. Is just a really good leader and vocal guy that people look up to. Defensive line, the fact that. The one guy decided to come back. It was a Wyatt.
Devontae Wyatt came back for an extra year.
Leader too. So we're going to have some guys kind of like 17 coming back, like Chubb and Michelle and guys like that. I think that really helped you starting here in the all season program. And they've started, 4 days a week. They lift and they do some running and speed training and things like that. And then they're going to keep building up till right before a break for spring break and then come back to spring practice. So just hopefully as normal a year as we can have, go on into spring practice, having G day game and all that stuff. The other thing that's worked out pretty well in this virtual world we live in is our academically, we had a great semester when you look at the grades that our kids had, and we didn't lose anybody academically. Just really a tremendous year under adversity that these kids were able to hang in there like they did.
No doubt.
Agreed. And, Kirby Smart did confirm that G-Day will – we reported it on the 18th. We reported it a few weeks ago that April 17th will be G-Day. So we have a G-Day, and then we the March 16th will be the first day of spring camp. They've got their dates logged, you know, they've got their dates set. So hopefully about 6 weeks from now, or you know, we will be watching our first maybe day of spring camp. That's why I'm excited about the JT Daniels news. If he's feeling good now, that'll be a great time for him to get out there. We'll get to see some of these early enrollees, these 16 early enrollees out there running around, and the seniors who have come back. I think, you know, you had a, I think your comparison, coach, to 2017 is big. You know, the guys that came back that year, the seniors that led that team were invaluable, changed the whole outcome of that season. And you hope that it lines up. And I think since our last show, didn't we, I don't think we talked about the schedule that came out, the SEC schedule for Georgia. That's a good looking schedule. I mean, you got Clemson and then you should be favored from there on out. This is a, I don't want to say ideal schedule, but it's a damn good one. So I think Georgia, this
another important, another important calendar note. There's no spring break this semester. So that's something university did when it came to COVID. So what they're doing is they're sprinkling these university holidays, I guess you can say, or it's like a break day. So I think 2 weeks from today, there's no class. That's one of the days it would have been for spring break. So they're doing that, I think, five different times throughout the semester. That could be important for the football team to practice.
Yeah, they won't be going to All Points South and all that stuff like that. But
hopefully Nobel will be eating those brownies and they can all come back and have a nice little, all stick around town and have a good spring camp. I know that'll be, Kirby will be excited about that. I'm excited about the fact that after this show ends, we're wrapping up here. We got a call-in show. So we've done this in the past where Paul and our man Trent Smallwood, so Paul Meharry and Trent Smallwood get together and you can basically call in, shoot the breeze with those guys. I'll probably call in and give them all sorts of help, especially about Paul's awful, awful beard. And we're going to do that each week where those guys will take calls in the evening once a week. I don't think we quite set the schedule for it, but it's something we did in the past and I want to get back to it because I think sometimes it's just fun to call up the UGA sports guys and give them hell, you know, talk recruiting, talk team stuff. Trent is a great insider. The guy breaks a lot of news. And Paul is, you know, he's our 17-year intern. But no, Paul's been around. He's written a lot of stories for us. Paul's part of the family. We love him to death. And that is a guy who does a great job representing UGASports.com and helping us when we're at camps. He's been all over the nation with us when it comes to recruiting. So between the two of them, they will be able to break down recruiting and team stuff. They also do a lot of team analysis. They're the guys that do the grades. They do film breakdowns. Check out Trent's film breakdown of Bear Alexander today. That's double team swim move. Trey Scott's probably, again, just thanking his lucky stars that kid has said yes today. And again, that's why you fight to keep him. Any other questions before we take off, Jake?
No, I think that's it for this week. Did want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in to our signing day coverage, both in December and today, as it were, and following along over at the Vault. You know, we're, I guess right now we're as far away from signing day as we're going to be all year. So it's a unique time, but.
Like doesn't name get the transfer portal.
I know. Now I'm looking forward, like I said, to camps getting started back up. So
are we ranked number one for 22 right now?
Georgia is currently ranked for 2022, I believe second. And I believe that's strictly second currently, only to Ohio State. Ohio State with 10 commits, 3 5 stars currently. So that's got them over the hump. But Georgia, as they have often been right in the hunt of it when you're talking about average star ratings. So 4.13 for Georgia, 4.2 for Oklahoma, or 4.2 for Ohio State, 4.25 for Oklahoma.
So yeah, they got more commits than Georgia does. And when you count the top 20 commits when you do your rankings.
No doubt.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and happy belated birthday, Coach Donnan.
Yeah.
Thanks. So look at 4th quarter on this old boy right here now.
Man, I love the highlight reel that Patrick Garvin put together. That was really fun to see.
Yeah, it was nice of Patrick to get some of that stuff out there. I appreciate him. He's always good about that. And, you know, it's just I enjoy having a chance to be on this show with you guys and talk about Georgia. I think sometimes, you know, somebody sent me a deal where they thought that I helped Pruitt get the Tennessee job. Are you shitting me? Do you really think that Phil Fulmer took him because I said I recommended him? I mean, I'd recommend him again. The guy's a good coach. He got fired because he supposedly they got some hotel rooms for kids there on unofficial visits. That's all, what I heard. So, but come on now. I wasn't trying to help Georgia by getting Pruitt up there. I mean, I owed the guy. I thought he did a good job for us. So, but I guarantee you, I didn't get him fired at Tennessee because I recommended him. Come on, God.
Yes, Nate, it's the rumors of the coaching. I mean, it's the coaching rumors and the recruiting rumors.
Coach doesn't even eat McDonald's.
They're wild.
Well, that's okay.
Coach doesn't even eat McDonald's.
Nobody can have any opinion they want to about me, but I did have to say that about Pruitt, though, because I'm just going to tell you right now, he's one of the best assistant coaches in 40-some years, 50 years now, I guess, that I've been around. He's one of the top assistant coaches I've ever seen on the field coaching kids. So, that's a pretty good – I mean, I've seen a lot of good ones, and certainly Kirby's the same way. I didn't see him that much as an assistant coach. He's a good coach. He'll do good pros.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Tennessee adjusts.
They got better players there now than what they had when he got there, although a lot of them are leaving right now. Yeah. I see they got 20-some in the portal. That's a lot.
The SEC East with the Tennessee and – Vandy at South Carolina, Missouri. Again, I go back to the schedule. Georgia's basically got three games next year. You got Clemson, Auburn, and Florida.
You might say that, but we lost to South Carolina.
Yeah. You should have won that one.
Too many things up in the air, but.
No, I'm not saying they're going to win those all. I'm just saying the ones that I consider to be, that season, the 2021.
I'd say Kentucky's been tougher than Auburn this year myself.
Yeah. Would not shock me. All right, that's all the time we have today, folks. Tune in next Tuesday. We'll be back on our normal schedule. But stick around and check out the call-in show, the UGA Sports call-in show with Paul Meharry and Trent Smallwood. Call in, give them nine types of hell.
Is that tonight?
Tonight.
God, this is Ben Hur. This is UGA Ben Hur.
Hey, those guys have to work during the day. I put them to hard work, and this is their off time.
Make them work during the night.
Let's call them up.
All right.
I want to ask a couple questions. I'm going to get a film breakdown from Trent. What do you do if they come out and trips him and then shift to empty and then motion? Break that down for me, Trent.
Hey, put him on the horns.
Yeah.
You know what you call it when you put him up on the whiteboard?
No, I think he does a good job. I just thought I'd ask him a question there.
I was saying, hey, put him on the spot. Let's see what he can do.
That's good.
Well, we'll have him up there in the, you know, different UGA staffers, UGA sports guys will call in and give him grief. But go ahead and tune into those. And I appreciate everybody.
What time does that show start? Right after this?
Right after this one. We'll give them the keys to the YouTube channel and let them go at it.
How long does it last?
Until they stop getting calls or until Trent gets called away for his kids. Whichever comes first.
Good.
He'll probably put the kids to bed by now. But everybody tune in to those guys next, and we will see you next Tuesday.